the station of the nations, AM 1270, WHLD, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, New York, a Citadel Broadcasting communications station.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome to today's show. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot. And my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. Last week, I had the pleasure of speaking with former Buffalo Mayor Jimmy Griffin on the politics of aging. We talked about his care and admiration of his father, how he enjoys his grandchildren, what it's like to get back into politics as an older man, and what he plans to tackle in the South District to help his older constituents. He'd be happy to talk with you about any of these things. Just give him a call at his Common Council office, 851-5169. Today's show is entitled Perspectives on Getting Older. To discuss this topic and to answer your questions, I have in the studio today two very near and dear special people who I'll introduce in just a minute. A quick reminder that the phone lines are open for your calls, and the number is 855-6848. If you can't get through or don't want to talk on the air, you can mail me your questions and requests for information to the station at WHLD 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14202, or email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. Drop me a line also if you would like free copies of a self-assessment booklet I put together and may help identify important problems you haven't yet discussed with your doctor. Additional information related to the topics discussed in audios of all shows can be found on the web at whatshouldyouexpect.com. It is my pleasure now to introduce Mr. and Mrs. Albert and Doris Stahl, my parents, as my very special guests for today.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hi. Very nice to be here.
Now, you planned on joining me today as observers, but instead, I put you in the hot seats.
Here we are.
And I'm so glad you agreed.
Okay.
I'd like to take a trip down memory lane in the next hour, talking with you about your lives, how you handle difficult times related to illness of friends and family, how you think about getting older, what plans you have for the future, and finally, how you hope to be remembered. Let's start with one question I've always wanted to ask both of you. As you know, my birthday is May 11th, 1957. My brother Brian, your second son, his birthday is May 11th, 1959. And my youngest brother, Billy, your third son, his birthday is May 10th, 1963. He missed May 11th by 4 hours. With the doctor rushing things along, apparently because he had to get to a wedding. That's how he was pushed back to May 10th. Now I want to ask you, how exactly did this happen? Was this some kind of family planning? Was this something about August in New York City that was special?
No, it was vacation time.
Ah.
We were always away on vacation, and we were relaxed, having fun, and I guess we made babies.
What better time is there to do that, right?
Okay, I won't go into it any further about what happened during the rest of the year or that sort of thing. So
once a year.
I didn't know if it was the once a year thing or what.
No, actually, it was not planned. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I just want to, you know, get that off my chest and ask you that one. Now, one other question I've always wanted to ask you. When I was in my early teens, you gave me a book on sex education. And you told me to read it, and then you would ask me questions about it. I read the book with great interest, but always dreaded the time when you would ask me the questions. Now, when exactly are you going to ask me the question so I don't have to worry about it anymore?
Well, being you're a grown man, have three of your own children, I can't tell you anything. You know it.
Okay, so we can put that in the past.
Rest
and
yes.
I think so.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I can't tell you how I wondered when that day would come.
Me too.
Okay, well, now I want to play a short interview I did not too long ago with a special little girl talking about older people in general and her grandmothers in particular.
Lauren, at the original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband, and they see other people with their husband, and they get mad, or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis, and she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff. But she still plays cards, and she does everything for me. I call her Bubby. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV, and I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there. Sometimes, if I wanted to go to, like, a crafty place, she might take me there, and I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas.
Now, we have in the studio today the tennis and basketball playing grandma. Now, are you acing all of your serves and slam dunking your neighbors into oblivion? And what other passions do you have?
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Now, how tall are you? Yeah,
I'm 5'2".
5'2".
And so I'm not slamming anyone.
You're not slam dunking.
I'm not doing overhead.
You're just fast.
I just love sports. I've always loved sports, and I'm thankful that I'm able to play them still at the ripe old age of 68, and I just keep going until I can't go anymore, and that's it.
Now, what other sports do you like?
I love baseball. I don't play it, but I love watching it, collecting cards. My favorite team, I'm sorry, Red Sox fans, is the New York Yankees, and I've been a Yankee fan because I'm born and bred in the Bronx, and that's how I grew up. Ever since I was 8, I was a Yankee fan, so I guess it's 60 years already. And I try to get to the games if I get back up here to New York, and I see the spring training in Tampa, and I have a very big love of sports, and that's what keeps me going.
And we enjoyed watching that game the other night when the Yankees scored 18 total runs with 9 runs in the top of the ninth.
Right.
That was a ball.
That was wonderful. Last night wasn't so wonderful, so I'm up and down with that team this year, but I love them, and I love sports, and I think it keeps me really going.
And your buddy with George Steinbrenner, right?
Oh, yeah, I got to meet him at Legends Field in Tampa this spring, and I had him sign an old book that I had, a yearbook, and he was 30 years younger in the book, and he looked at it and he goes, "Oh, wow," he said, "Oh my God, look how young I was," and we had a whole nice conversation, so it was really neat.
And after you leave Buffalo, you're going to be seeing a good friend of yours. And you're headed somewhere else related to baseball.
Yep, headed down to Yankee Stadium to see Thursday night's game. And then on Friday or Saturday, we plan to go to Couples to Cooperstown, New York, to visit the Hall of Fame. So we're kind of baseball fans here.
Now, Dad, what do you think about Mom and all the things she does?
Well, let me interject a little bit. I think she's being a little modest in her capabilities at tennis. She's a very good tennis player. She used to play on what was known as the A-team in league play down in Boynton Beach, Florida, actually in Palm Beach County. And she's much better than I am. I play maybe twice a week, but she plays about four times a week. So she just has that innate ability to be a good tennis player, and she is. She does the overhead slams, and she does sometimes aim the ball at you, you know, to get the point. So she's a very good player.
Now, what kind of things do you do, Dad, besides the tennis?
Well, besides the tennis, I enjoy hobbies, and one of which is flying radio-controlled planes. I do that, and frankly, in the last few months, I haven't been doing it too much. We've just been too busy doing other things, and plus, I still am somewhat active in business. I'm a realtor in Florida, and I'm not actually actively looking for any new business, but if it comes to me, I don't turn it away. And aside from that, we just enjoy going out. We go to, theater, plays.
Now, you're a Bronx boy too, right?
And, that's right. I was I was born and bred in the Bronx and grew up there until I went into the service. And then after I came out of the service, your mom and I got together. I knew her since she was 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You knew her brother, right?
And knew her brother. That's how it all started, really. Yeah, her brother.
Uncle Norman.
Uncle Norman, that's right. He was the camp maintenance man in a camp in New Boston, Massachusetts. And I can't remember exactly how I met him to begin with, but I did meet him, and I went up to the house to be interviewed. And then I met your mom. And she was all of 15 in curlers in a bathrobe and very embarrassed at my coming in at that point to see her that way. But, you know, of course, I was hired for the job and we both ended up in the camp. I think Mom was a counselor in training.
Yeah.
Right. And we established a relationship at camp. And then after that, I went into the service. And when I came out, we decided to get married. And we got married on September 10th.
So maybe that's also why August is a very special time of the year.
Well,
maybe.
Brings
yeah.
back good memories.
That's
yeah.
right.
True.
Oh, well, so you're able to keep up with this lady?
Yes. Almost.
Now, Mom, well, you work. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Now, Mom, you work too.
Yes, I do. I have the ideal job for a semi-retired person. I work 3 days a week at Florida, FAU, Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida. I work in the director's office in the library. I work with wonderful, wonderful people. I'm there for over 14 years, and I love it. And it's ideal because I only work Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 20 hours a week, and I work 3 days, I'm off 4 days. It's ideal.
So the work keeps you busy, stimulated,
I love being
with other people,
right.
with the students, too.
I love the students.
I understand you give advice in the ladies' room to the students.
I try to talk with them and find out what's going on with this new generation, and it's really great. I love being there and get you out of the house and you know, see what the younger generation is doing. I love it. I really do.
I think we tend to hang out with younger people, and I think that has a great deal to do with what your outlook is in life when you do hang out with younger people. We don't like to think old or be old, and fortunately, physically, we're in pretty good shape so that we can maintain a good level of activity, and both physically and mentally. Mental is very important. That's why I don't think I'll ever give up being a realtor or doing other things. I do volunteer work as well down at the same college at FAU, and I think that's very important for all kinds of health.
This is in southern Florida, West Palm Beach, and yes. Boca Raton area.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. We live in a city called Boynton Beach, and which is a very fast-growing community. It has, I think, at this point, about 80,000 or 90,000 people, and it's just a very nice community. It grew up as a residential community and is now expanding greatly as a very big retail and commercial area.
Are there a lot of retirees down there? And
the mix of people is really changing. It used to be just retirees. I think about this all started down in Florida in our area anyway, about 25 years ago, probably a little further back than that, where a lot of retirees started coming up from Miami and Fort Lauderdale and coming into the Boynton Beach area and West Palm area. And
it wasn't quite as crowded.
No, but not far. I remember when the street, our main thoroughfare, Congress Avenue, was two lanes, one in each direction, and right. Now it's six lanes.
Six lanes with all the usual stores and shopping malls and everything
restaurants.
Else. Restaurants.
Every
I remember
restaurant
that, too.
You
get the snowbirds, I'm sure, too, coming down during the winter to get away from the cold and snowy weather from up north. And a lot of the friends from the old neighborhood outside of New York City are down there, too. Right?
So, yeah, old friends is down. It's like having, your youth
all over. The old neighborhood back
again. Yeah. Your youth all over again. It's wonderful.
Sometimes it's a little overwhelming because you don't know. You have so much to do at a point, and trying to keep appointments or make dinner dates or so on, you have to kind of cut back a little bit. It gets a little tiring. Right. That's how active we are.
Well, my aunt, Aunt Edie, your sister, calls you Dorian Gray because you never seem to age. I doubt there's a picture that's growing old somewhere and that you're going to turn that way all of a sudden. But
in the attic.
But I don't think anyone would guess the ages of my parents. I want to play a call that came in earlier from grandchildren that are now at a varsity high school football practice.
Mm-hmm.
And let's roll that right now, Jimmy.
Hi, Grammy and Grandpa. This is Dan. I'm just calling because you're on the show today. And when I'm with you, I enjoy being with you. And Grandpa, I enjoy going deep sea fishing with you and flying the radio control airplanes. And Grandma, when I'm with you, I like to look at baseball cards and listen to your stories. Okay, I'll see you later. Love you. Bye. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandpa. This is your grandson, David. I have a question for you today. I just want to know what it feels like to be older. Kind of a weird question, but I'm young and I don't really know what it feels like. I think it's good that older people are being active and get out and do stuff. Okay, bye.
So they're those are my boys. They're they're working at making sure they don't get killed out on the football field, I guess. What about the question David asked? What do you think about getting older, and when did you first notice or feel that you were older?
Okay, I'll answer that. I haven't felt it yet, so I really don't know. I have a very active life. I have a physical life. I have a happy life. The only difference is when I look in the mirror, I'm not 15 anymore. But other than that, I have gray hair. My hair is graying a little. But otherwise, physically and what I do is just like I would do when I was 15. Go out, I play ball, I come back, I shower. I have a wonderful life. And so I don't feel that I've hit old age yet. People are always older. I don't never put myself in that because I don't feel it.
When we see people in our community who are older generation people, probably in our generation, maybe a little bit older, I always look at them as being older, whether they're my age or not. And I think a lot of it has to do with how you feel physically. you know, mentally, it's you have to keep a good mental attitude about everything. But I think if the genes are going to have it, you're going to be feeling, if you feel good physically, you will not feel old. I guess that's one of the main criteria. Because if you have debilitating diseases or debilitating physical problems that keep you from being active, and that's going to make you feel old pretty fast.
Or pain.
Or any pain, right. Yeah. That's why it's best to treat pain and not have it. You know, see a physician if you have pain. There's always a way of treating pain.
And not be a martyr and suffer through.
Well, and many people assume that pain, when they have it, is just part of getting older.
No,
and there's nothing
no.
that could be done about it. That's
no.
what some people think.
I feel it's a total waste of a day if I spend it in pain. Whether I take some aspirins to relieve whatever may, you know, if I have a headache or whatever. But that day, you never get back. It's gone. And why waste it in pain?
Well, you called a month ago into the show about some back pain you were having.
No, my sciatic.
Right.
Yeah.
And right, and we talked about, you know, ways to deal with that. And,
right.
But that
wasn't pain.
That was an ache.
Yeah. Pain is different than just an ache, because I did follow. I took some aspirins and stuff like that, and it really helped a good deal.
Yeah, and an ache is part of what I call diseases. They're not diseases, mm-hmm. but they're diseases that people have that hold them back as much or even more than actual diseases.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So, I think...
I hope you answered David's question.
Well,
I hope David got.
I think the answer also is that you can either have good genes, which mm-hmm. Can bring you to an older age, but there are also things you can be doing while you're younger to prevent premature aging, if you will. Things like smoking, which not only cancer, but more commonly, it ruins your lungs,
mm-hmm.
and you could suffer from chronic lung disease when you get older.
Right.
Things like drinking, mm-hmm. drinking excessively, which can affect your liver.
Yes.
And if your liver is damaged, it affects how you're able to metabolize medications. And so the problem can multiply itself when you need to take medications. There's things like thinning of the bones when a woman's going through menopause,
yeah.
things they can do to prevent fractures that are caused by thinning of the bones by taking calcium and vitamin D and other medications that can help prevent progression
right.
of the thinning of the bones. Well, why don't we take a short break and play a special song for my guests, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its shine. The moon and stars will say are mine forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. Like this, because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. Thank you. and smile because of you.
Well, here I sit with my parents. My mom has tears in her eyes. That's a special song, Tony Bennett, Because of You. And I understand we have some callers, so let's take the call. You're on the air.
Why do old people retire?
Who is this?
Abigail Stahl.
Abigail Stahl.
Abigail, hi.
Hi, Abigail.
How you doing, honey? Why do people retire?
Why do older people retire? Is that what you asked, Abigail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I guess because they get tired of doing the work they've been doing all their lives. Like if they work in an office or if they own a business, they're tired of doing it. They could have been doing it, let's say, for 25, 30, 40 years. And they say, oh, I think I'd like to spend my older years maybe fishing, going out on a boat, playing tennis, golfing. That's a good thing. Instead of going to my office all the time. But I think they hit a certain age and then Social Security kicks in. I'll explain that to you some other time. And that's money coming in. And so they don't have to work. They could kind of play.
Yeah, and Grandpa, what do you have to answer, Abigail? No, how was that, Abigail? Did that answer part of your question?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, here's Grandpa. He's going to put in his two cents.
Well, Abigail, I think a lot of it has to do with being financially secure, too. In other words, meaning you have enough money to be able to live without having to work for your money. So that is a good part of it as well. And retiring doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to sit in a house and do nothing. It means that you have the ability to do whatever you want to do. I think that's about it.
You know, Abigail, that's exactly my thoughts about retirement, that when I retire, I'm not just going to sit around. I'll have the freedom to do things that I might not be able to do now because I need to go out and work and make money to pay for the house, to pay for food, and those kinds of things. So what do you think? What do you think retirement should be?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you can think about some of those things. Well, it's good you called. It's good to hear your voice. You know, we're on the radio now. And Grandma and Grandpa are sitting right in front of me. And your dad is who? What's your dad's name?
Bill.
Bill. It's my brother Bill's little girl.
That's right.
Well, thanks for calling.
Have them stay on the line, Doctor. They can have the they can talk to each other, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, we have another caller now. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. This is Lauren. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandpa.
Hi, Lauren.
How you doing?
I think good. Abigail's on the line, too, isn't she?
Yeah,
Abigail. Yeah. Hi, Lauren. This is my baby, Lauren, who you heard from earlier in the show. Lauren, do you have any specific questions for Grandma or Grandpa or something you want to mention to them?
Yeah. If you had one wish,
if you'd like to make a call, please.
What would you wish for?
If you need it.
If you had one wish, what would it be?
I heard what she said. The silence is because I'm trying to answer her question.
Okay, here's the one wish question.
One wish. Well, Lauren, I think, you know what? I think I have every wish. I really can't. I have good health. I have a wonderful husband. I have wonderful sons, beautiful, beautiful grandchildren. So what would I possibly wish for? I can't think of anything really, honey. You know, sometimes like I buy a lottery ticket and you wish you can win a lot of money and stuff like that. But I don't think a lottery would ever make my life any happier than it really is.
I really have a good, happy life.
Do you have anything you'd wish for now?
No. I got you. I got Abigail.
Well, that everybody stays healthy as long as you can.
Yeah.
And be healthy, wealthy, and wise, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any, you can't really tie it down to one wish. At least I can't anyway. I mean, there's a lot of wishes that you wish for. You wish for, like I said, good health. You wish to be able to be self-sufficient. You wish everybody, you know, will love you as we love them.
Yeah.
And it goes on from there. Well, thanks for calling, Lauren.
Thank you, girls. Abigail, Lauren.
Yeah, well, and Abigail, too. We'll see you later, Lauren.
Okay, bye, Grandma. Bye, Grandpa.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon, Abigail.
Bye.
Well, those are nice little calls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Mom has the tears welling up in her eyes again.
Oh, God. That is four of my beautiful nine grandchildren that we have. And
that's right.
They were wonderful. They're just fabulous. And the only sad part is always leaving. We love to come and visit, and the day we have to go is always the saddest. But
then you have to look forward to the next time you come. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let me ask you, you've also had dear friends that are now gone from illness, usually cancer has taken them. What was that like for you?
Oh, boy, that was tough. I had a very dear girlfriend who lived next door to me. At age 66, she was diagnosed with cancer. And we saw her, you know, just fading.
Go through the whole thing.
The whole thing until finally she went to hospice. And she was there about a week and a half. And in fact, we didn't know we went to visit her. She was down in Boca. We went to visit her. We knew what room she was in and stuff like that. And we went in to talk with her, and she was sleeping. And I went over to wake her up, and I kissed her cheek. And I said to Dad, I said, "Hun, it must be really freezing to hear she's so cold." And he said, "I think she's dead." And she was. She had just died just before we got there. And we loved her. We were friends for about 20 years. And in fact, we bought down in Florida because she bought next door, and she called us, and there was a condo next door to us. And we bought, and we had wonderful, wonderful times with this couple. And she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And my thing, I always felt that the reason that she's gone so early is that she did not go to a doctor. She just dealt with a chiropractor who kept selling her vitamins, and that was her thing. I kept telling her, go to the doctor, and she kept buying these vitamins. And finally, when the pain got so bad, she went to a doctor, and the doctor asked her, the oncologist asked her if she takes vitamins. And she says, "Oh, yeah, I take lots of vitamins." And he says, "Stop taking vitamins because the cancer grows on vitamins." And I want you to stop taking them immediately. And that was the answer to her story. You know, it was just very sad. And it didn't I feel it didn't have to happen. I don't know if it would have saved her life, but I felt it was just a waste. And so, if you have anything, go visit your doctor. Let him diagnose it. And go fast. That's it.
Yeah. How about you, Dad?
I look at it maybe in a little different way. I think death is a natural progression of life. And as long as it happens in the order in which it's supposed to happen, meaning that your children don't go before your parents, then I can accept it. And I accept it when people go. Unfortunately, in our family, most of them have been quite old. My parents were 90 each when they passed away, and Mom's parents were
77 and 88,
right? So they weren't youngsters when they departed, but I just treat it that way, and I look at it from the point of view that if it happens naturally and in that progression, then it's one of those things that go on. You know?
Well, let me play a recording of a discussion I had with an esteemed local actor named Dr. Saul Elkin.
Mm-hmm.
This was a few months ago, and you'll hear him first asking me a question.
So, because so much of your life is taken up with dealing with old age and death, I suppose, what are your anxieties? Do you have anxiety?
Well, let me tell you, I'm hopeful in this sense that any of my patients that I've asked, are you afraid of dying? They've all said no. Just the fact that they say no in a truthful manner means to me that the fear of aging is a fear of youthful people.
Yeah.
And that as you get older, that fear dissipates.
I think that's true. I mean, I'm experiencing that. I mean, and I had, you know, the childish terrors that everybody has, and I have four children, and I've seen them experience these sort of nightmares and terrors about death. It does go away. It doesn't go completely away, but it dissipates.
Well, what do you think about that in regards to what we're talking about? The fear of dying.
I don't really have a fear of dying. It's just that I don't want it to happen now. I got too many more things to do and places to see and so on, you know. So I don't want it to happen now, but I don't think I have a fear of it. If it's to happen, it will happen, and I'm not going to be fearful of it, and I'll accept it.
Would you prefer it happen suddenly so you're really not aware that it's going to happen? Or
no. I don't mind it knowing that it's going to happen, but I'd rather not suffer, you know, as some cancer patients do, where they linger on for months and months. I don't think I want that to happen.
Okay. And how about you, Mom?
Well, I feel the same way, that if, you know, I had a good long life and it's time to go, then it's time to go, because the inevitable is death.
But we can't go yet.
No, we're not going yet.
They're not going anywhere.
No, we're not going anywhere, please God. And that's it. If it has to be, just like Dad said, it should never be the generation under us. It never should be our children. It should always be, you know, us. When my parents died, they were my buffer zone. And when they left, I moved up. That was my position. And I'm your buffer zone. And I protect you. And we'll go before you, and then you move up, and you protect the children, and so on. That's my feeling.
Well, let's talk about your parents, Mom, and Grandpa Al, and Grandma Elsie,
mm-hmm.
and Dad, Grandpa Julius, and Grandma Goldie Stahl. And I was fortunate to have all four of my grandparents alive, involved in my life, into my mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
They're all gone now. With Grandpa Julius, the last one to die a few years ago. How was that for you to watch your parents age and finally pass away?
Well, it was the toughest with my mom because she had strokes. She had these TIAs, and each TIA that she had chipped more and more away from her life. You know, one made her blind, one made her hard of hearing, one, you know, made her incontinent, and so on and so on. And so it was like the most, she had it the worst because her life kept being chipped away by these TIAs. So that was really hard to take, and then eventually she had to go into a nursing home. And she was happy in that nursing home, in fact. She really enjoyed it. They must have taken really good care of her because she enjoyed it. And when I would come to visit, she used to look forward to when I would say, well, I got to go home now, Ma. I have to take care of Al and the boys. And she would smile.
She looked so she could get back to her activities.
Well, not activities, just to be in her her state, whatever. You know, her quiet. I used to try to make her speak to me to you know, stimulate her.
Right.
And
I remember going. Yeah. And we used to say, Grandma, do you recognize me? Right. Grandma, this is Doris. And we'd say, Grandma, this is Doris. And, you know, this is Robbie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I tell people, I give that as an example of that maybe we didn't quite say the right things, because someone who can't remember, it puts a stress on them.
Oh, well.
You know, so maybe that's why she was happy to go back to it.
Absolutely.
We didn't know any better.
No. You're right.
And if we would have talked just about general things, what happened during the day, telling stories or whatnot, maybe she wouldn't have been so
stressed,
so quick to want to go back.
You're right.
Have us leave.
Yeah.
Quiet way.
A quiet way where no one was putting that challenging her when she couldn't meet the challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was it. You know, but you live and you learn. You learn later on. When you became a doctor.
Sure. It took me how many years of training to finally learn that?
Right.
And how about Grandpa?
And Grandpa. Grandpa, my dad, he had the ideal way to go. He was 88 years old. For about 6 months before he went, he would have dinner with us every night. He had his own condo, but he came in to have dinner with us every night. And he would say, you know, sweetie, it's time to be with my honey, meaning my mom. And I would say, oh, Dad, come on. You have so much to look forward to. The kids are having their kids. You have great-grandchildren, da-da-da-da-da-da. And every single night, he would say the same thing. He wasn't in pain. Nothing bothered him. He just felt it was time. He just wanted it. And he went into the hospital. He was having breathing problems on a Friday night. Right. Remember, Rod? He suggested I call the hospital and bring him over.
They found he had pneumonia, I think.
No, they had him in ICU, checking his heart and all that stuff. Then they took him out of ICU on Sunday. We visited him. He was terrific. He was getting ready to come home on Monday. He had a roommate that we were all laughing and having a wonderful time. 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, the phone rings, and they tell us he's gone. I couldn't believe it, you know, because we already take him home, and he was fine. So if that's how you have to go, there's no pain, there's no anything.
Yeah, and he always took things in stride,
and
he liked his little shot here or there. And
he liked his shot a lot.
he'd hide those bottles,
he used to try to bribe anybody that came along to buy him a bottle of liquor.
He loved his shot, yeah.
Well, you know, thinking back, that kind of story, he may have had what's called a pulmonary embolism, a clot that goes to the lung that can cause breathing problems. It could get better temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have a big enough clot that goes into your lungs, then your lungs don't bring the oxygen into the body.
Right.
And you can die suddenly from that.
Yeah,
even young people can die from that after surgery. It's not uncommon as a complication.
Right.
And how about you, Dad? About your parents?
Well, you know, my mom, she, I would say, started having dementia. I don't think she really had Alzheimer's. I think it was more like dementia.
Her vision was going, her hearing was going.
Yeah, everything was kind of going at various times during the last part of her life. And she recognized everybody pretty much until the end.
Mm-hmm.
And she unfortunately had to go to a nursing home as well. It was very difficult to take care of her because she was a little combative.
It's hard for Grandpa. They were living together in a condominium.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it was very difficult for him to take care of him because he was deteriorating as well. Not as much, but he was slowly going down.
Yeah, it was hard. It was an effort for him to meet her needs.
Right.
And Grandma also, you know, was somewhat negative and seemed depressed.
She was combative.
Yeah.
She was combative a great deal of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to the nursing home, and we used to go visit her very, very frequently because it was fairly close. And eventually she just kept deteriorating and passed away at the nursing home. My dad, on the other hand, he was pretty active. He was always lively.
He was called the mayor of Co-op City, right? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, when he lived in the Bronx.
He was very gregarious, loved talking to people, telling stories and jokes. He always had a good joke.
So? That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. He always had a good song, too. And he couldn't take care of himself, and it was obvious that he needed a little help, too. And we found him a very nice assisted living facility, which is where he stayed for most of the rest of his life, which wasn't very long after that. Unfortunately, he started losing his balance and fell a few times, and there was one time when he fell and it got him into the hospital. And he was at that point in a very deteriorated state. He had prostate cancer. He had
surgery for his prostate. So he had some bleeding.
His waste facilities weren't working very well at all, and he needed a lot of help with that. So when he finally went into the hospital, it was obvious to the doctor at the time, he said that he wasn't going to live very much longer.
So, and he was about, 90 years old?
He was 90 when he passed.
That's 90 years old.
Just as my mom was. She was 90 as well. And so they lived full, long lives, very happy lives, and made it happy for us as kids, and we always had a good time. So,
He didn't have, 90-year-olds don't have what's called the functional reserve. Like, younger people can have these same problems and bounce back.
Right.
Older people, their bodies often just can't bounce back from insults, like the different things that went on. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And he went to a hospice facility.
Right. And you happened to be there at the time,
right?
As was
my sister.
I
came down, right?
And you came down, and we all stayed with him at almost to the very end. And unfortunately, we went to lunch.
Well, we went out for breakfast.
I think it was breakfast.
We came in the morning and saw him. He seemed to be doing okay.
Right.
Then we went for breakfast and planning to come back, which we did, and stay with him some more. And and the curtains were pulled, and he was gone.
Yep.
And we spent some time in his room, just talking and reminiscing. And
it's good to do that too.
That's a healing thing.
Sure.
Yeah. To talk about the fun part of a loved one who has gone and the fun times you had with them and the jokes and the this and the that. And they'll always be a part of you, because as long as you can remember those things and they're alive in your heart and you pass it on to your children and so on and so on. And they stay alive.
I guess what we did is we created our own eulogy before his funeral.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An informal eulogy.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
It was healing.
Well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll finish talking for the hour, and then we'll go out to eat.
Hot dogs
are on the schedule for tonight.
No.
Okay.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Pardon the way that I stand. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Oh,
Okay. We're back now with my parents. This is Dr. Stahl's parents, Albert and Dara Stahl.
Hi again.
We're having a wonderful conversation here today. And let me ask you how you'd like to be remembered.
How I'd like to be remembered?
By family, by friends, by the world.
Oh, well, as a good person. As a giving person, as somebody that if they call on me, I'd be there for them. I would do my best for them. I love them. My close friends I love. My family. Oh, God, do I love them. And I hope that I'll be remembered, well. And that's it. You try the best you can for them.
You didn't leave anything for me.
That's it, Manuel.
Okay, I'm going to ask you that in a minute. Mm-hmm. I just want to go through a few funny things that someone sent me as an email not too long ago. This is called What is a Grandparent? Taken from papers written by a class of 8-year-olds. And here we go. Grandparents are a lady and a man who have no little children of their own. They like other people's. A grandfather is a man grandmother. Okay. Grandparents don't have to do anything except be there when we come to see them. They're so old, they shouldn't play hard or run. It is good if they drive us to the store and have lots of quarters for us. When they take us for walks, they slow down past things like pretty leaves and caterpillars. They show us and talk to us about the color of the flowers and also why we shouldn't step on the cracks. They don't say, hurry up. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear. They can take their teeth and gums out.
Gums too?
Gums too, that's right. They all come out.
Yeah,
grandparents don't have to be smart. They have to answer questions like, why isn't God married, and how come dogs chase cats? When they read to us, they don't skip, and they don't mind if we ask for the same story over again. Everyone should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they are the only grown-ups who like to spend time with us. They know we should have snack time before bedtime, and they say prayers with us every time and kiss us even when we've acted bad. And the last one, which I think is the best one, a 6-year-old was asked where his grandma lived, and he said, oh, she lives at the airport, and when we want her, we just go to get her. And when we're done having her visit, we take her back to the airport.
Yeah, they pick him up. Pick her up at the airport.
All right. Now, Dad, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh. I think, you know, your mom said the whole thing. I mean, really, as a person that tried to do good during their lives, during their life, and, you know, didn't cause anybody any harm, did more good than evil. I don't think there's anybody perfect in this world.
You fixed a lot of washing machines and refrigerators, I remember, and lawnmowers and all kinds of things when I was growing up. But every weekend, you were out visiting someone's house.
I guess I'll always be remembered as the handyman of the block. That's probably true. It's very difficult.
And, of course, refused a penny.
That's right.
You refused a penny. Yeah. It's out of the goodness of your heart. Yeah. You just enjoyed doing it.
That's right. I did. It's very true.
Well, I guess we're about wrapping up now. Not much time. We have 3 minutes. Any final things to say in 3 minutes?
Well, I think this was a wonderful opportunity to sit and talk with my son, because we came to Buffalo on Friday, and
this is driving up from Florida, swinging through Ohio.
Yes, we went to visit Abigail first.
Now through Buffalo, headed through New York City, maybe to Cooperstown, and then
definitely
to Cooperstown, right. And then back down to Boynton Beach, Florida.
Right, but this is the first opportunity I've had to actually sit and talk to my son. Because he has three wonderful, wonderful children at home and a beautiful wife. And I'm busy with her, I'm busy with the kids, I'm busy with this. I'm talking to Danny about baseball cards, and Lauren and I are playing cards, and David and I are sitting and talking. And so this was a wonderful opportunity to sit and talk to my son.
Well, maybe we'll have to do this again soon. The next time you're up, I'll definitely have you on the show so we get a chance to talk to each other.
Okay, I'd love it.
And Dad, anything?
Actually, it was a very interesting experience. I didn't realize how fast an hour can go. It's just about gone. And it was a great opportunity to be able to speak and say with your prompting, to say what old age is like.
It just came very naturally. It was a great conversation, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Nice. I'm still learning things from you, and I hope the listeners did too. Of course, the next time you swing through, I'd love to invite you back.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And we thank Tony Bennett also for singing Because of You. Andy Williams also singing for us for a short period of time. If you'd like to send me a note, remember, you can mail it to WHLD, 1270 AM, 225 Delaware Avenue, Buffalo, 14202, or email me at drstall@whatshouldyouexpect.com. For more information and to listen to previous shows, check out the website whatshouldyouexpect.com. And remember to call in your questions, dial the station 855-6848. Now, next week, you will hear highlights of the shows of the past 2 months as I enjoy Labor Day with my family. You can still call in and leave your questions with Jimmy, our station engineer, which I'll review on the September 13th show. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. See you then.
At your age, what should you expect? A whole lot. Heard right here on AM 1270 WHLD. It's 5 o'clock.